Welcome to TTLG, where we take you through the looking glass. I'm Ryan, and he's Joseph. Join us weekly to stay up to date on the best DeFi crypto trends. Hit that subscribe button in the corner of your screen so you won't miss out on the best opportunities we have for you. What's going on, Joseph? How you doing, man?
Man, just, recovering from the past week, man. It's been super interesting.
Interesting
in these markets and, just keeping everything balanced. Quickly, before we get into this, a reminder, nothing that we say on this episode or this channel is meant to be taken as investment advice. Full stop. That's what it is. There's a disclaimer in the show notes below. So take a look and do your own research, people. All right, dude. So today we're going to be discussing a little bit about Luna Burn and just kind of the outstanding, Luna tokens that are in the ecosystem. I mean, this has been a wild past couple of weeks with LFG and some of the action there. But, I think sometimes that distracts from, the mechanics of this ecosystem that, really kind of hooked a lot of us. So what are you thinking on this, man? What are you looking at?
Yeah, no, I know we've discussed this Luna circulating supply, actually the liquid circulating supply. We're getting close to that under $100 million mark. So that's a great indicator. Last time we got under that 100 million mark, we did pump pretty hard. Let's see, I'll pull up the screenshot just so we can see. This is from Smart Stake. All you viewers out there, I'm sure you're familiar with Smart Stake. Great application. We like to use it a lot. We've definitely seen some divergence in this total Luna that's actually been burnt in relation to the liquid circulating supply. So that gap's starting to widen. And today is March 27th, and we are at 101, just over 101 million liquid circulating supply. So if this burn keeps up, Joseph, we're going to be definitely under the 100 million mark by tomorrow evening for sure. So this is a great indicator.
And are there any kind of dates on calendars, past this where we expect more supply to enter the market, or
so generally with the supply, that could just be with the staking, with new or liquid Luna entering the market from the 21 day burn. Let's see, what are we at percentage wise with the total staked amount? So we're at 41.51% on the total Luna stake. So that's a good solid number. Almost 50%. That's a good amount. So that's 312 million Luna stake. So that's also something to look at. I know we talked briefly before we actually started recording. I was just kind of dabbling with some charting and looking at the Luna chart, and the 50 day moving average crossed the 100 day today. So that's another metric that I like to watch. The last time that happened was last year, as a matter of fact. So believe it or not, last time the 50 day crossed the 100 day above was last year, and we pumped from like 16 to 50. So
it definitely feels like, there's something building here. You made a comment a little bit earlier offline just about the support that we're seeing at around this 90 number, right? I mean, it looks like we're really well supported. I think that, like, counterintuitively, this action with Luna Foundation Guard buying a ton of Bitcoin, I think that's just a massive, massive kind of waypoint that the market's just gotta absorb and find its way through. Like, I'm seeing some confusion around, is this Bitcoin being purchased to support UST? Is it being purchased to back UST? Like, what are the nuances of the mechanics there? The other thing that I'm seeing that I think is really interesting is Bitcoiners kind of giving each other shit for shilling this whole this whole, you know, this whole kind of, you know, purchase series, which I think is really interesting because, I mean, you know, MicroStrategy purchased a bunch of Bitcoin, Tesla purchased a bunch of Bitcoin, and I don't know that I would say that this is much different from a company purchasing Bitcoin to put on their balance sheet. You know, like, I mean, yes, it's different, yes, but the mechanics are very similar. Luna Foundation Guard is an organization. It's set up to build reserves for UST, and this is an asset that they've been aggressively purchasing. So, you know, I think once we get past this like shill kind of like, you know, digestion of this like shill mentality around this and people start to understand, you know, what the actual linkage is, that's when I think we'll kind of start to tick higher here, because I think we'll see sentiment kind of flow in. The last thing I want to mention here,
last thing I want to mention quickly,
is that we're still not decoupled from, and I don't want to go down a rabbit hole here, but we're still not decoupled, you know, from you know, equities and crypto are not still fully decoupled. There's a lot of just extreme complexity in the macro economy, and that complexity has just got to get worked through. And so it just feels like, to your point, you know, we've got a hell of a foundation. Once we get that kind of catalyst, it's probably going to be, you know, up and to the right. But there may be a little bit of pain in the short term as the macro market just digests what it, what, you know, what this Russia situation means, what the commodity meme coining, you know, means and all that. So,
right. And it, we just look at Luna, right? I mean, we're only 10% off the all-time highs. And I don't even think this Luna Foundation Guard purchase is even priced in just yet. I think a lot of people are still digesting what exactly this means, the purchasing of this Bitcoin. Are they going to buy more? We've heard rumors of $10 billion worth. So there's some uncertainty in that aspect, but I think that's also adding to the price stability of these levels that we're at now.
Right.
And again, we're just 10% off the all-time highs. And you look at Bitcoin, Ethereum, I mean, they're well off the all-time highs by, you know, some 40%. So comparing those metrics to other assets in crypto, I mean, we are still kind of the leader and the forefront of the market in terms of performance, right?
And I would also add to this that the behavior of Luna has been something that that, you know, those of us that have been in this for a little bit and kind of have been market watchers, market observers here. I don't think that this price action is surprising. And we've seen it in the past, right? As long as Luna continues to grind sideways and we continue to see, you know, that support hold, you know, there's a old saw in like trading, right? That like every spot price is filled eventually, right? And there's just not a lot to the downside here right now. I would also say that the mechanics between Luna and UST still very novel at this scale. We're still seeing UST, you know, just up and to the right, slow chug up. And so everything's lining up for a really interesting catalyst, you know, to the upside. The only thing that could affect that is in the coming weeks, just seeing some kind of, you know, some kind of extreme volatility in equities could pull us down. I still think even if that happens, these will fill in very quickly. And the bounce back will be very quick. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to bring up last year, the Kadena pump, right? The big Kadena pump. Well, when Kadena was pumping, there was a lot of, that was in November of last year. And there was definitely a lot of money from Terra that kind of flowed out to Kadena during that time with the big run up. I mean, we were going from what, 2 to 25? I mean, I remember you telling me, hey, go buy some Kadena, right? And we were all pulling money out of Luna to go buy Kadena elsewhere. And I think we're seeing that right now, especially with Rune. You know, there's a big Rune pump going on right now. Obviously, there's some good use case with Rune as well. But I feel like there is some distraction from Luna in that aspect, right? You know, everybody loves to see the big pump, the up and to the right, to your point. So once I see some sell-off in Rune, I think we'll start to move here in Luna and kind of chug up to those new all-time highs that we're looking for. Because this is kind of the same exact pattern that we saw with Kadena, right? I mean, Luna was down. We were up, you know, all-time highs in the $55 range, and then it kind of just faded during that Kadena pump. And that's what I think we're seeing right here, right now.
Well, and yeah, and to that point, right, like we're still not seeing, at least, you know, people are taking positions, right? But we're still not seeing kind of bigger money flow into the ecosystem. And I think really until, you know, Luna defends its position in this top 10 space for a little bit longer, we're not going to see, quote, institutional allocation or, you know, larger allocations. And the reason I say that is because it's a good point on Rune, but ultimately we've got to have, you know, new money flowing into the ecosystem to kind of drive that up. I would say that what the phrase that I just said could be taken out of context and could sound very Ponzi-ish, right? But like the point is these ecosystems just aren't that big yet, right? And so when we look at like the mechanics and like how things are growing, I mean, we just had the ANC, you know, protocol, the ANC kind of reassessment of
ANC. Earn rate.
Yeah. And so, you know, I know that a lot of people are kind of taking that as bitter medicine, but I would say that those, that type of the, you know, the changes in those types of like underlying fundamentals are really what's necessary to drive this, you know, the value in the long run, because 20% interest is just doesn't make sense within this context, right? It may make sense as you become your own bank and you're loaning, you know, money to whether it's a validator or through something like Pylon to you're funding, you know, little startup projects in the ecosystem, and there's a ton of upside. Maybe that type of return kind of makes sense in a more more kind of risk adjusted way. But I think the risk adjustment is the super important part here. 20% on a stable coin, it's just not sustainable. And so all that is to say is like, when I say new money into the ecosystem, I'm saying, you know, people or institutions see this as an interesting asset, start to come into it, start to use it in the way that it's been designed to be used. And then the last thing that I'll say here is, and I think something that's like people really need to not sleep on is like, off ramps matter also, right? And so as we think about, you know, lower friction in terms of getting into the ecosystem with things like Kado Money, with things like Rune, you know, people being able to go from native BTC to, you know, native Luna very easily, that's ultimately what we want. We want it to be easy to get in and easy to get out. And the reason I'm saying that is because that is the value cycle. People have to make money and then they have to spend that money somewhere. And I mean, that's what an economy is, right? And then in the completion of that value cycle, you then have capital that theoretically is being allocated to the most, you know, efficient use of that capital, in so long as you know, that the economy that's been created doesn't have like super heavy handed regs and things like that. So we're just setting up for, you know, the conversation about Terra to be a third rail. We're like that's happening. You can get it. You can get into Bitcoin easily. You can get into Luna easily. You can get out of Luna easily. You can spend UST in, quote, the real world. And so I just think the digestion of that complexity, it's just going to take a little bit of time. So, but these data points are awesome, Ryan, because they really just give us a jumping off point as to what's next. I mean, let's keep in mind, what's the market cap today? So
32.5, it's still.
Or no, the market cap of total crypto markets, like 1.7 or something. 1.8.
Yeah, it's under 2 trillion. Still, let's see. It's actually just over $2 trillion, $2.03 trillion as of today. So,
and there have been a shitload of projects that have launched recently. So that probably, right. You know, and Bitcoin's starting to tick up, but it's like, I think everybody's kind of holding their breath to see what happens in equities markets, honestly. And I'm saying everybody that is not retail is kind of holding their breath on that. One last data point real quickly. When we've seen Bitcoin run in the past, it's been largely narrative driven and largely like sentiment driven from retail. Like that phase shift where institutions are coming in and like handling these types of assets very regularly and are trading these assets because the market provides volatility that can result in alpha, like that's where we've got to get here. But again, the big data point is like we've seen, you know, kinetic war breakout, globally, right? We've got all of this insane energy conversation and monetary, conversation around monetary policy. And until that starts to like shake out in some way, these markets aren't going to be able to just absorb, you know, something that's as myopic as like Luna Foundation Guard. It's got to be right. Put in context. And once it's put in context, then I think we can see larger tranches of capital start to flow in from, you know, more traditional players.
Well, and it's interesting to think about some of these assets that have been pumping recently. You know, you look at Cardano and it's like, well, what's the thesis on Cardano? Like, why is Cardano pumping? Well, who really knows? I mean, what if Cardano...
I read some interesting stuff on this that people are thinking it's just new people coming into the crypto ecosystem.
Okay.
And buying what's cheap, right?
So, but that's interesting to think about, right? Because let's say we took like an equities thought here. If there was a company that was publicly traded that was buying tranches of Bitcoin like Terraform Labs is doing, I mean, we'd see the thing up 20% in one
sure.
day, right?
Sure.
We get the LFG buying Bitcoin, and what does Luna do? It just chills right at that $90 mark, just stable as a rock. But it's just like the crypto market just overlooks things like that. And to think like, let's say Cardano was saying, hey, we're buying billions and billions of dollars worth of Bitcoin to back our currency or token, right? I think the ecosystem and the market would flood into Cardano, but for some reason they're overlooking Luna at this point. And I've yet to figure out why.
I think it's because there is a misunderstanding of exactly what's happening between UST and Luna, because you're bringing up a great point. If Solana went and did this, right? If Solana was like Solana would moon. So there are two things happening here. One, and again, want to kind of keep this succinct, right? But like one is that the relationship between UST and Luna is a seniorage relationship, right? So like when Luna is destroyed and UST is created, the way that seniorage works is it's the cost of, you know, of raw products needed to mint a, like I'm saying seniorage in like when governments traditionally create capital,
right?
It's the difference between like I have a silver coin and I need X amount of silver for that coin. That's my cost basis on creating that coin. Now, what is that coin worth within the, like, how is it priced on face value? And the difference between the materials and the pricing of that coin on face value is seniorage, which then the minting government keeps. That's how minting things is profitable. So what I'm saying is we haven't worked in that with like seniorage being the way that it worked in traditional finance in many, 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 many years. So I think there is a misunderstanding between how Luna and UST works. That's number one. And number two, because this shit unfortunately still matters, like Solana, it's a fine project. I don't have anything bad to say about Solana, but it is the VC darling. Right. And so has Ethereum, as so has, you know, has Ethereum also been the VC darling. And so, you know, I just think that like we saw a ton of capital get raised in venture capital, you know, in the first quarter of this year. That capital is now going to be deployed across a wide variety of different L1s. Terra is going to be a huge target for that. in the coming weeks and months, a huge target for these massive funds that have raised crypto-focused focused funds. And so as the kind of understanding of UST and Luna is more fully digested, the understanding of what it means for you Luna Foundation Guard to be, you know, buying Bitcoin as a reserve asset, that's kind of point number one. And then point number two is, you know, venture capital is going to flow into this space and really stimulate things. I think as those points are understood and more people are building within the Terra ecosystem and these big funds start to deploy that capital. So it feels like we're in a really, really good position.
Definitely. And I feel like there's going to be a lot of even equities are going to take note of Doquan buying Bitcoin, right?
Yeah.
And we see how Luna has reacted to TFL buying Bitcoin to back Luna, right? And I think you're going to start seeing some of these big publicly traded companies take that route as well, right? Because what else is there? Like, what other assets are there that you can say, hey, I want to back, you know, say Apple. Obviously, Apple doesn't need to back themselves because they have tranches of cash. But let's say, you know, for instance, like Intel or something to that extent. I think we'll start to see more and more of that, because what else is there? Like stock buybacks, what does that mean anymore? Nobody really cares. Right.
Well, and in an inflationary environment, it's extremely important to have, like in an inflationary environment that looks like this, it's extremely important to have multiple assets on your balance sheet.
Right.
Because dude, I mean, trillions of dollars, like how, I don't know what Apple's balance sheet looks like, but like, even if it's hundreds of billions, well, shit, 10%, that is a Bitcoin. Massive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's, well, no. And I'm saying like 10% inflation is a massive chisel on the cash that they're even holding. So, I mean, that's a point well made. And I definitely agree with that. So we'll
and see. I think they're, for them to diversify, they kind of have to, right? With given the circumstances in the markets, this is just an avenue that I think we're going to see more and more publicly traded companies take hold of. So,
well, we even saw bonds dump last week,
right?
Like, I mean, it's just, where do you go? Like, right. And so taking a 2% flyer on something like Bitcoin and just being like, well, we need exposure simply because, excuse me, assets aren't behaving in the way that we have historically expected them to behave. It's just like, if I'm managing these big companies have treasury management companies that manage their treasuries, and those companies looking at it and saying, what's breaking here? What's happening? What does this look like? Like, it's impossible to ignore, you know, a $2 trillion marketplace like this. It's also impossible to ignore, which a lot of people are very excited about this. We just don't know how it's going to play out. It's impossible to ignore the relative resilience that Bitcoin has been showing over the past, you know, month with the insanity that is geopolitics today, right? So,
right. And I know you brought up a point earlier about Russia accepting, what was it, what crypto for some sort of payment for oil?
No, so Russia is now, I believe this is correct, Russia is now accepting rubles for their oil, right?
Right.
And so then that's forcing the hand of, you know, countries like Germany, who just don't have a way to get the energy that they need. And so if Russia says, well, you have to pay in rubles, well, right, then they have to pay in rubles. The other thing that started happening, it's very interesting with the Russian central bank, is that they've started big buys of gold. So mm-hmm. my point is that, like, once you get into this kind of, like, you know, fringe, like, not fringe, I don't want to say fringe. Once you get out of, like, what the old paradigm was, which is like, we can have US dollar reserves and we know we can lean on that, and, like, you know, it's fine, we may have geopolitical dust ups here and there, but like the world order of global currency is still reinforced. That's one thing. But now we're in this place where it's like Saudi Arabia was also considering, you know, accepting, you know, the yuan, renminbi, right, for oil as well. And so it's like, if it's true that we're probably headed towards, you know, kind of a commodity driven, multipolar, you know, trade environment, then it's going to be impossible to ignore an asset like Bitcoin. The question is, how heavily, you know, how heavy-handed will bankers be, and kind of, you know, those that are conducting monetary policy in these countries that are breaking with, you know, financial tradition or whatever, the traditional paradigm, that still remains to be seen. But, you know, there's no way that there's no way that they're not exploring it. It's just how heavily do they come in, and what does that mean from a regulatory perspective? Because even if they come into this space, and the regulators in the EU and in the United States, you know, or in the G7, the groups that are in the G7 start clamping down, because they're like, well, this is just another, you know, path for Russia to, you know, to have, you know, to participate in the global economy. That could be problematic. All of this is to say, you would much rather have, from our perspective, as people that are, you know, market observers in crypto, you would much rather have a more decentralized than a less decentralized environment.
Right. Great points. I mean, we're gonna definitely keep an eye on this TFL Bitcoin buying spree that they're going on. We'll keep you guys updated on that. I know we've seen, especially Mike Novogratz with Galaxy Digital, they have a bunch of Bitcoin on the balance sheet too, obviously Luna. So that's something to keep an eye on. And they're only traded over the counter, so I feel like we'll see an uplisting with those guys at some point in the equities market. And like we said, the Luna liquid circulating supply is getting close to that under $100 million outstanding mark. So that's a metric that we'll keep you guys updated on. Check us out on Twitter, where we'll be sharing all that information, so you can kind of keep up with that on the fly. That's TTLG_crew on Twitter. We post daily, so check that out. Joseph, do you have anything else to add before we spin this thing up and hit the hills?
Yeah, no, not at all. I appreciate connecting with you, dude. Good conversation.
All right, guys. Well, thanks for tuning in today. Check us out on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. You can listen to us on the go, and go ahead and hit that subscribe button. We appreciate your viewership. We'll see you on the next TTLG.
All right.